He hasn't been there for a while. Bull. He had a bull just gave birth. A bull was just born.
Wow, the world is static.
It's
impossible.
Just a bull was just born. Called Gorshakti Lopi. He said, Jim Kamaraj is here just before you arrived. Bull took birth. He says, what should we name him? I said, call him Vikrama. It's a good name for a bull.
Good name.
Vikrama.
Yes.
And it was nice. It was nice to glorify Vaishnavas. You should do that, and it feels nice. And you know they do that in business world. You get your after 20 years, what do you get, a gold watch, or is that after 40 years? 20 years, and it's regular. We used to do it when we used to have in old days of Gurudev, we used to have devotee appreciation. We do it in Hungary. We do it just as part of the Namhara camp. We give out certificates and so on. But that's for best this, best new bhakta, best sankirtan devotee, and special award. But you get to do that, over a period of time, because devotees who really stuck it out for 20 years and do service, they're empowered. It's just devotees who do service, lifetime service. I didn't want to, took my wife to go, he was on the list, but he's the only full-time serving Prabhupada disciple. Anyway, statistics makes him a very rare person. And that should be recognized. We should recognize that.
Someone was going to speak about him at the end and present him with that gift. I think you spoke already and they cut back.
I was worried because I didn't see it on the list. So
that was the surprise at the end. We were going to speak about
him. Cut it.
I think I said a few hiccups yesterday.
Say that again.
There were a few hiccups. Yeah, but.
Space is such an opulence. Prabhupada would say high ceilings are opulence. So big. But it doesn't strike me, it doesn't strike me to actually even be as big as Luton. Luton or Stansted? Stansted. Isn't Stansted? Stansted's also got a flat roof. Maybe that's why it looks bigger. Because this one's got spirit to it.
This is five floors, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's this is five massive. Levels. Once you go through check-in, it's massive shopping.
It's like when you go to Hong Kong. Hong Kong's weird.
There's so misuse of intelligence. In other words, they've got such intelligence, such expertise, but the purpose is just chaos and destruction. We've got some intelligence and some expertise, but at least we're going in the right direction. That's like how on you have a well-wisher, Chutnanda says, we're low on a high level, and they're high on a low level. Oh, I have to tell you this joke. This was a really good joke. This is a blonde joke. So, anyway, I'll put it on. This is like a joke. This is in a bar. Man sitting at a bar watching TV. It's 2 to 6, and a blonde sits down at the bar. And then 6 o'clock news comes on, and the first thing is there's a film of a man. He's standing on the top of a building, ready to jump. And And the man says, I bet you he jumps. And the blonde says, I bet you he doesn't. He says, all right, I bet you 20 quid, put 20 quid down. And he puts 20 quid, she puts 20 quid down. And sure enough, the guy jumps off. And the guy says, I have to be honest with you. I was already here. I saw it at on the 5 o'clock news. And she says, well, I know. I saw it at the 5 o'clock news at home as well, but I didn't think he'd do it again. We need a little humor, you know.
They said this is the second busiest airport in the world. O'Hara is still number one. This has because it's got more runways. It's the only reason they don't have any more runways. If they get more runways, it would be the central. It's got 60 million people.
He gave us early
coming
60 million.
Bar story of O'Hara Airport. I remember a couple of years ago in class. I think there's some big statue of Mr. O'Hara. Is that right?
Which O'Hara, yeah. It's named the
O'Hara.
Outside
somewhere. I think it was the story of Butch O'Hara, how he was the son of some gangster or whatever.
It's O'Hare.
Yeah. Butch O'Hare. And then he got his he fought in the Second World War and saved his comrades from so finally died in battle. He was decorated and this airport was named after him for his valor. And then he used that example for...
It's Butchihara. He was the son of... his father was the solicitor. Who was the solicitor who was Al Capone's solicitor. So when...
Son of a change of consciousness or whatever.
The example was he gave was that Al Capone couldn't be done for anything, so when finally his father, the solicitors realized that actually this man's doing wrong and I can hand him in. And the FBI got to him and he agreed.
They got him for tax evasion.
For tax evasion. So when they found out that he'd done that, he was full of bullets from head to toe, every single inch of him was full of bullets. That's how they killed him. So when his son saw that his father had died for a higher principle, the good of, the one outweighs the good of the many, so his son always had that. And when he was fighting in the war, that was the story that when he was flying, flown into the wrong space. At that time, they were told to come back. But he realized all his comrades were all surrounded by
the Japanese.
So he flew back in, and practically he had hardly any fuel, but he fought the whole fleet of Japanese fighters and defeated all of them. And he got his comrades back onto the ship, and they landed. So he saved them, and he was... merited with all awards, and they asked him why he did that. He said he remembered how his father had sacrificed his life for the greater good of America. For the greater good, and he said that example stayed in his mind, and that's why he fought the way he fought that time. He carried on fighting like that again, but he died in battle, and that's why that O'Hara Airport is named after him, for that valiant.
He was a Chicago boy. The good of the many. The need of the many outweighs the need of the one.
Yeah, that's our principle. Therefore, sacrifice for others, sacrifice for institution. Vaishnavas live for others, to help other people. Yeah, they help. Paraduka Duki. And how effective you may be. Some people may achieve great things, other people small things, but the mood is the same. I thought that was very nice, that poem, that Do It Anyway. That was nice. that I read last night.
It's, yeah.
Because, and particularly Material World and then Kali Yuga. It's very hard to really be appreciated. It's very hard for people to recognize what Vaishnavas are going to doing for them. And that's why, you know, they'll give unlimited money for this, but, you know, we'll struggle. And, but anyway, we'll do it anyway. Because we're doing it for Krishna. And because Krishna wants it. And that's what Krishna says in the Gita. Don't worry about your relatives and this, just do it anyway. And then we just leave the result up to him.
The original poem was actually written by a 17-year-old boy from Harvard University.
I thought it was Mother Teresa.
She got it. She got inspired by that poem. Well, it was really written by him when he saw the inequality in society and how individuals in student life. He was a genius, so he wrote that. And that became very famous and inspired Mother Teresa. She stuck it on a wall as her emblem, surviving. 69,
yeah,
something
like
that.
Yes,
do it anyway. It's a good mantra. Do it anyway. And that's what Krishna says. Don't be attached to the result. Just do your duty. Sadharma api charita. Everyone should do their duty, whatever your duty is. Don't worry about the result. Just do it anyway.
Sometimes you worry about it.
Huh?
Sometimes you worry about
it. It's because result is what we see as result, but our vision is very limited. You know, what do we see? We see just a very, very small part of the great picture, but if we have faith that if you perform your duty, ultimately the result will come. And that result may come in a different way than we plan, it may come in a different time than we're even in. We don't see all the cause and effect. We see cause and effect from a very conditioned and limited view. If I do this now, I'll get this particular type of result. But Dharma means, if you do the right thing, you'll always get the right result. The right result will always come. You may think that that's what Arjuna's worrying about. If we fight, they'll kill, all of this will happen. Krishna says, that's just your perception of it, but just do the right thing and the right result will come. It's a principle-centered, and it's more and more difficult. People no longer believe in principles. It's very rare to find principled people. Everything is sense gratification, immediate result. Never mind, if you can get an immediate good result for your senses, then just do anything as long as you... That's outrageous. This whole thing about same-sex marriages, 15 years ago, we'd even believed it.
Do it anyway.
Doing it anyway. I would have never believed it.
Do it anyway.
So what's going to happen in another 15 years?
In London, there was a case where a clergy had said that she wouldn't do the... he wouldn't do the marriage of same-sex individuals, so they were trying to take him to court. He wanted the appeal that he has his right as an individual not to do something. He feels it's not. That was a landmark.
He won it now. But yeah, you should stick by that principle. So even though all of that's going on outside, we should stick by the principle. It's like today, I didn't have much time, but I was talking with Samson with the principle of drinking milk. That, you know, it's a principle, we're going to have to deal with this, is that the milk that we drink supports cow slaughter. Not at the, well, I don't know how much manner, but the manner we have, but that was Prabhupada's solution. That have your own cows that you take care of for life, but if you don't, all of the milk is connected with that. It's a principle. Do we believe in the principle? Is the principle drink milk at all costs?
Does that mean we should be vegans?
No, it shouldn't mean being vegan. It means that we should have farming communities, like Prabhupada said, where we have cows, and you take the milk from the cows that you protect and take care of all your life. We're not vegans.
In the absence of...
No, we shouldn't be vegan. We should do what Prabhupada said. And the problem is we get problems come into our movement and come into our lives when we stop doing what Prabhupada says. And when you get into a discussion with a vegan, you've got that, you don't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah. So if you don't have access to cows or your own milk, what's the principle? Just drink milk anyway.
Huh? What's the principle? My principle right now is I won't drink any milk that doesn't come from our own cows.
Yeah. But if you don't have that system,
then how long are you going to live? Are we going to do that for 1 year, 5 years, 10,000 years? Then the solution is you got to solve the problem. And the problem is you have to do what Prabhupada said and depend on that Krishna will provide those facilities, make a plan to actually start developing a... not even a farming community, just so that you can actually provide that type of milk and vegetables for devotees. And then if you're going for that, all right, we've got a 2-year plan, a 5-year plan, and 10 years from now, and then you can at least say something. But if you're not doing anything, then we're hypocrites.
So in the meantime, what should we do?
First, you work out a plan how you're solving the thing. And then you can say, all right, we're decreasing. We're going to get some land. We're going to get at least 1 or 2 cows and start with that. And then that's only going to provide, you know, 1/4. All right. And then say on the basis of the fact that you've got 1/4, you buy 3/4. You try and fund. Although no farm can exist without slaughtering their animals. It's not financially viable at the price that they sell milk at. But you're making progress. But if you don't make progress, if you don't doing it, then you really have to consider, can you really live with that? Are we really being true to our... We talked about being vegetarian and so on. So all utility is the principle. This has got nothing to do with utility. This has to do with the fact that you haven't followed Prabhupada's instruction and neglected it for 40 years. We're in a fortunate position here that we have that to manage. Anyway, it's a matter of principle. But very serious principle. How's we're worried about our Krishna consciousness movement in terms of what happens to our, what we've done to our children, how we've neglected, how much have we neglected our cows? And how much auspiciousness will there be there when these are the type of sacrifices, compromises that we make? We talk about it all we want, but you know, what is Krishna really saying? We need to just examine. If we just always be examining, what did Prabhupada say? What did Prabhupada want in our lifestyle? And that our lifestyle is adjusted, that we're going in that direction, at least going. But if we're not at all, then we're in trouble. I think I'm going to be in trouble if I don't start moving. I've got 50 minutes. I don't anticipate long queues here. This is the way airports used to be like. They used to be like this. What a great place to just come here and distribute books. Huh? No, because it'll be difficult for me to take it out. Oh, and I have to take my plastic bag out with all my little pieces in it as well.